Oh, hello. I didn't see you there.
Well, hello there, and how are you?
I'm great, honey. What are we doing?
Well, we're doing our podcast.
Culture Pop?
Where we talk nonstop.
Oh, my God.
What do you want to talk about today, honey?
We have a couple of, like, little things that we can touch on.
The first thing I see is gritty reboots.
Yes, because we tried to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, and you got, and I tapped out after, like, one episode.
Like, and I made you watch the full episode. Because, like, literally halfway through, you're just like, no.
No. Yeah, it just got way more, like, the grittiness felt like they were trying so hard. Like, it's so hard.
It's so interesting. Oh, okay, so it's not just Sabrina the Teenage Witch. There's also, as you guys know, Riverdale that came before that one.
I actually like Riverdale. Riverdale.
It's definitely not an Archie comic, and I think they were smart in not naming it Archie and naming it something else. Yeah, I think that was a smart move on their part.
Yeah, because, like, there could be people who legit don't make the connection that it's actually, you know, Riverdale.
Yeah.
Archie.
Yeah.
And so, like, to them, that's just their first introduction.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it.
And that's chill. It's chill.
That is chill.
Because, yeah, anyways. But Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you're expecting a sassy cat talking back to Sabrina.
Oh, my God. I was like...
And the
I was...
lovable...
I was waiting for the puns for this cat.
You're waiting for the cat to start. It's probably going to start talking eventually.
And then, like, at some point, he, like, falls out of a window, and now he's in a full body cast. Like, he can't move. Help me, Sabrina.
And he's like, Sabrina, you must help me.
Yes, please.
Feed me all the tuna in the world.
Feed me tuna.
See, like, anyways. Okay, but those are just shows that have recently come out that have dark, gritty reboots.
Well, you know what the ultimate example of a gritty reboot is?
Huh.
The Batman series. Because everyone talks about how DC was trying to be gritty.
Yes.
And see, the reason why that was is because a long time ago, the DC comics were campy. Like, campy as hell, with, like, the Joker running around going,
nee-hee-hee. Oh, yeah, I remember that,
and,
yeah.
Batman going, like, halt there, citizen. And then...
Yeah.
Well, the comics, basically what I'm trying to say is at a certain point... Mm. The comics and Batman was all camp.
Yes.
And then when the 1960s Batman show came out, which was like, it was like him dancing the Bat-Tootsie.
I remember
that. Pow!
Yeah.
Kaboof!
Yes.
That one was also insanely campy, and it was just like, it blew people's mind, because, like, at that, it came out at the perfect time, and everyone loved that style of humor, and so they just ate that up, and it was the most popular thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for many generations, people just grew up thinking that, like, oh yeah, Batman is just pure camp, and everyone just accepted he was like a goofy comic character.
Yeah.
And certain powerful aspects of DC, certain powerful areas of the DC company hated that. They hated that. They were like, no, we think that's terrible. Our character can be very serious and tell a serious story.
Yeah.
And when they made the new Batmans in, like, you know, in the 90s, you know.
Love those.
Oh, yeah, those, like, they were still pretty campy, but they got more serious. And those movies were, like, did pretty well at the time. And then later on in 2006, that movie came out called Batman Returns.
Yeah.
And they was like, okay, and they had a big...
Was that the one with that Tim Burton?
No. Batman Returns. That's with the Christian Bale.
Oh, okay.
Batman Returns and then Dark Knight. The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh yeah, the Dark Knight. Yeah.
Anyways, the point is, they took a gamble and said, okay, the last one did the 90s Batman's got, well, it was a little more serious and it actually worked.
Yeah.
Let's go full serious, just full serious. Yeah. Try realism and gritty, and, you know, and then the first one did pretty good. And they said, okay. It did pretty good, so let's try again with the second movie.
Okay.
And then we know who died.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Joker was so apparently popular that at that point in history, the super ultra gritty, like, him and the Joker sparring, was, everyone loved it. It was a massive success. And so they decided, let's create a dark universe.
Yeah.
And that's what it's a whole snowball effect. It's crazy.
So we have the Dark Knight, and then we also have Man of Steel, which is another
similar, but
a whole other thing. Because I also mentioned Man of Steel because it's another, not just because it's another DC property, but just because, like, I feel like, let's reel it in and, like, kind of do, like, a umbrella thing real fast. I kind of feel like a lot of these reboots are coming out in, like, the early to, like, mid-2000s. The beginning of the 21st century is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Which I think is interesting.
Very.
Very interesting. But yeah, taking properties that we already know and love from, like, past generations and, like, making them, like, for the people of today, and we all are apparently all depressed and sad.
We need more sparkles and unicorns in our lives and with rainbows. Come on. Brighten me up, baby.
Don't you know the baby boomers killed that for us?
No.
We can't be happy anymore.
No.
We have bills to pay.
Yes. So many bitters.
I'm mostly exaggerating, but also low-key not kidding. But no, I think it's interesting just noticing that trend in filmmaking. Or not just filmmaking, but in reboots specifically.
Yeah, Jillian has always told me that if you pay attention for, like, every... If you pay attention when movies come out, you'll see a pattern.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every half a year, you'll see, like, okay, now they're doing movies mm-hmm. about, like, animals somehow. Now they're doing this about like women in charge or this and that. Like if you pay attention, like with all these movies are just like trying to focus, like competing with each other on these little micro levels.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes it's more obvious, like superhero movie. Like sometimes it's like super on the nose. Like this month when we have, or like this couple of months we have Captain Marvel and Shazam.
Yep.
Who is the original Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like, and there's like, oh, like, and then also with Marvel, still making, fucking.
The MCU?
Yes. Still making fucking...
It's amazing.
Every year. Like, and I'm excited. I love watching them.
And I love that you love them. It's just like, it warms my heart.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I started out watching the Batman movies from the 90s with my dad, so...
And she also really got into Game of Thrones pretty fast, even though it's, like, not really her genre. I think it's because...
No, you know what? I actually love period pieces. Okay, I've said that before. That's true. I love period pieces. I remember, when Blockbuster was a thing.
I do too.
Oh my gosh, when Blockbuster was a thing, I would literally go to the, I would just buy random movies before I knew Netflix was a thing. Mm-hmm. I would go, I would literally just, wander around Blockbuster and find just random, period pieces. Like, I remember I bought this super random, pirate. Anyways, it was a two-disc fucking thing. It was like 4 hours of some random ass pirate period thing. Anyways, I used to just buy things like that.
I'm actually the same way because I actually have this box set called The Presidents.
Oh my god.
And that was just a thing where they go by one president at a time. And I think it's super interesting because it's like you can almost see how like the whole entire history of the United States was built from president to president, how it was changing slowly and slowly. Which and how is each cool. and each person had to deal with like what was going on now.
Mm-hmm.
And like you had like presidents who were just all like, trade with France and England. Why would we do that? We're fine. We're done with that place. Let's just stick to ours. Mm-hmm. Growing stuff here. And so like no, you like and then other presidents going all like, well, no, we need this like new rail system. Like we need this to expand the coastal line. And it's just like, it's like a dynasty thing, and it's just really interesting. It goes through every single president. And I remember when we first started dating, honey, I brought that with us.
Yeah.
And. Wanted us to watch it.
Wait, are we telling this story right now?
Well, maybe. Point is, I was super into it. You're just all like, okay, yeah, more white people. Yeah. It was all like, honey, this is just a DVD set of like, look at all these white people and their accomplishments and failures.
Well, you know what? I think what's more important is I like your perspective on it. I like that you like it because you can see it from a different perspective. You're sitting here just like, oh, like the country, like how it's changed over time. I like that perspective, and I appreciate that perspective from you.
Because I think American history is really interesting.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like looking at it from your point of view, I think it is really interesting.
And it's very digestible because the United States is like not even 300 years old. We're like a baby country still. We're so young. Whereas like English history is like thousands of years, like
mm-hmm. centuries and stuff. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like for America is like that's like 200, the 200 something years is kind of easy to like catalog. I
mean, yeah, for the United States anyways. Yeah,
so it's like this cool story. Yes.
Yeah. Native Americans would argue. No, I'm
kidding. Oh, damn. why would you say that?
Because I'm a millennial and I'm depressed and sad all the time.
I think they feel.
I know. Oh, fuck that.
Because I remember seeing a documentary a while ago about like how this one guy who was like he was Native American. He was like on his documentary saying like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we have like young Native Americans now, but like they grew up so Americanized that they don't want to like
carry on
tradition. So it's like so it's like even if we multiply,
yeah,
our culture's dying.
Oh yeah, because like it's easier to assimilate, and that's also like a thing that happens. Oh wow, we're getting into some stuff. But assimilation.
That's how this goes. Just keep going.
Just keep going. But assimilation, that's a lot easier than trying to like carry out these traditions and then like explain to the other people around you. Why are you doing the things you do? And
that,
you know,
that is actually a theme in a comic book I've been reading lately.
Yeah.
So, okay, so get this. Like, if it, like, I love comic books, mm-hmm. comic book characters. I love, like, all both Marvel and DC, and I've, like, watched so many shows. I've watched all the movies. But mm-hmm. up until recently, I have never read a comic book, a superhero comic book.
Yeah.
And the first, and the one I've just read right now is called Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
But this Ms. Marvel features this this teenager. I think she was born in America, but point is she's Pakistani.
Yeah.
And her name is Kamala Khan.
Oh, yeah.
And long story short, she's actually like a descendant from an alien.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like an alien. She's a little bit of alien genes in her.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is in this story, she wants to go and like party. In the first chapter, she wants to go and go to this party that the high school is throwing
mm-hmm.
in secret, but her dad wouldn't let her go, and like because he's a strict Pakistani dad.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamala sneaks out and goes over there, and like a flash happens, and then it awakens her powers, and her powers is like mega transformation. Like she kind of like Mystique, she can make herself look like anybody.
Yeah.
And she has Mr. Fantastic power, so she can stretch and like change her size.
Mm.
So she can go like giant or tiny, and she can stretch her arms out, and she can turn like she's like a super like mm-hmm. it's kind of like remember Clayface.
Yeah,
kind of like that.
Yeah,
she's kind of like Clayface, only less grotesque and like more human like.
Where is Clayface from? For anyone that doesn't know.
Oh, that's a DC character. He's a DC villain who's like made of clay. He just like sludges about, kind of like Venom.
So cool, but yeah.
Anyways, but Kamala Khan. The first thing she thinks of is Miss Marvel, because she's a Marvel fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
Like she loves all the Marvel characters.
Yeah,
and she thinks about Miss Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and she kind of is jealous of her because she's like white with blue eyes and yellow hair. She's white.
Yeah,
so she kind of feels a little bit of jealousy,
mm-hmm.
and because she herself is internalized as American, but she isn't. No one treats her like that.
Yeah, because she looks.
Yeah, and then yeah. So she changes her body into Miss Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to fight, and she finds out she can't fight that way.
Yeah.
And she gets a vision saying, like, oh, be yourself. Don't be like me. Be yeah. proud of who you are.
Yeah.
And then she just kicks her own costume and says, okay, fine. I'm still Ms. Marvel, though.
Yes.
So she takes it as her own. And she's still, it's like the thing about, like, she's trying to find herself. She's trying to, like, live up to her culture.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, express herself the way she wants to.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. See, and then everyone that is against, what is it? Fucking comic books and video games and all that other stuff. This is a prime example of those things teaching people and showing people fucking useful shit.
Yeah.
And like how to like grow personally and not just all the violence. Just saying. Because you just described intersectionality and also just demonstrated the importance of storytelling and shit. Anyways. So with that being said, that was beautiful, by the way. Thank you for the description, honey. So let's take it back a little bit. Gritty reboots.
Yes.
Where we started. I want to talk about why, what we think.
I think it's a necessary evil.
It's a necessary evil.
Now hear me out.
No, listen.
Because the fact is like it or not, just think of these as experiments.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, it does not taint the original one.
That's true. It's a whole nother. That's why they call it a reboot.
And someone could just point to their wall, point to the DVD collection, point to the original Dumbo, and say, "No, that's fine. It's still there. They didn't take it away from me. I'm okay."
Speaking of Dumbo, that's Dumbo. Another gritty, freaking. Well, reboot thing.
That's more real. Well, okay, but my point is like mm-hmm. just think of these as like a necessary like evil experiments where like. Or an experiment where you just take something you like and like change it aesthetically, mm-hmm. 180 degrees, and see maybe you can make it work, maybe you can't. Sometimes you get a good like Maleficent, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get it like you it's like lightning in a bottle with Dark Knight, the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it completely fails. Like
which one?
Well, a bunch of them.
Well, a bunch of them.
But I would know because I don't watch any of them, actually. That, to be honest. Oh, listen, I did watch Maleficent. That was good.
I will say not just
it was Maleficent, a rape analogy.
It was. I will say to add to your point, or like an example of your point would be the Batman movies with Affleck.
Oh, yeah, and Superman.
Oh, fuck that.
Superman.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I've never, you know what? Personally, maybe this says a lot more about me, but I've never been the biggest fan of Superman.
He can be written very well.
He can be, you know what? I like the campy one better. But anyways, that's a, my point is, those are examples of gritty reboots that are talking about what you're doing.
Oh, this is why I love Shazam, but go ahead. You first.
So great.
But you first, okay. On your point.
Okay, so, so with these things, from an industry standpoint, like, okay, I understand why we're doing this for two reasons. One of them is, like, on, like, a deeper, like, philosophical level. The other, philosophical? I don't know if that's the word. Someone tell me if what I'm about to say is a philosophical reason. But then the other one is, like, it's easier, like, I'm just imagining, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Okay. Hold on. If they didn't name it Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I just call it Salem.
If they just called it Salem, or if, like, they changed the names of the characters.
Witches and Bitches.
But they did the exact same. No, Witches and Bitches.
No, it's Witches and Bitches.
Witches and Bitches.
Honey, tell me this show is not full of witches and bitches.
It is.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I can, like, from the perspective of someone in the industry, you'll get more people to watch it if you call it, not just if you call it something that people already know, but, like, you know, like, a retelling of something that we already know is easier to market than just saying, oh, this witch, and she has problems, and she fixes her problems because she's a witch with magic. And
also, this is not the only Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is on Netflix, which is, like, a pretty reboot of the original.
Yes.
This is not the only example of Sabrina getting a darker reboot.
Ooh, do tell.
Right now, going on right now, Sabrina has, like, her own comic. Comic line going in, you know, and DC printing them. Not DC, but...
Yeah, they're in circulation.
With that company.
Interesting.
So, like, with that one, it's like, Salem's talking. And so, like, he's all like, aha, I did this, and you, I'll get you.
You know what? I'm only on episode 2 or 3. I think it's 3 now. You know what? Even though I'm not the biggest fan of where, like, how it started, I do want to see it through, because I'm just like, what are they doing? What are they doing with Sabrina? But but oh yeah, so I didn't get to my second point. So that was, so, like, from, like, an industry standpoint, yeah, it's smarter, because, like, literally, if they just called it Witches and Bitches, and they changed everyone's names, like, less people would watch it, because you'd have to be, like, into the supernatural genre, like, you'd have to be looking for shows like that to, like, stumble upon it. And you'd hope that enough people like that idea to, like, see it. But when you name it Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you're going to get all the millennials and the people earlier that, like, have...
I feel like a lot of people just watch it just because they're interested in seeing if this, like, gritty thing is going to work or not.
That's literally what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, so more people are going to watch it because they're just like, huh, okay. And also, I feel like after the success of Riverdale,
If I'm seeing your merch at Hot Topic, then you're doing good.
Oh my gosh!
In the public cultural sphere.
Right, exactly, in the pop culture sphere, yeah. So, anyways, industry standpoint, I understand that for sure. And then from a oh my gosh, what are words? I didn't even drink anything. From a philosophical standpoint, not philosophical. Anyways, another standpoint, I think, and I kind of touched on it earlier when it's just like, okay, so the audience now and just like the general mood as a culture now in the call out culture, in like the whole, like, we're trying to, like, I don't know, like we are in a time of change at the moment, you know, currently as we're speaking, Donald Trump is president.
And Notre Dame is burning down.
Oh, fuck, that was actually today. But anyways, no, but, like, the world is changing. The cultural...
Landscape
attitude isn't very cheery at the moment. It's very much, like, we're very not... Like, we're mad.
Why? It's almost as if on cue. When the new decade is starting... We're getting this brand new culture emerging.
I know, right? But we kind of touched on it a little bit with the whole Batman thing. 2020
is going to be lit.
Oh my god, it's gonna be something. But
it will. Too.
It will. It could either be in a good or bad way. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, it's interesting that like these gritty reboots are coming out like in like I was saying, like in like masses at the moment, and or it feels like it's in masses right now, or they're the ones that we're paying attention to at the moment, because I feel like as a culture, we are trying to look at things in a more serious light. Like, we're not as disillusioned as our parents and our grandparents. I'm not saying our parents or grandparents didn't know what reality was. I'm just trying to say, I feel like the idea of the American dream is very different now. And actually an example of that, like just like in life, like aside from movies and like what we're watching, like for example, like I love the gritty reboots. I'm going to keep watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch because I want to see what they do with this whole thing. And like example, like the wedding industry and all that other stuff is like failing because dirty millennials like me and
are saving money.
Oh yeah. We're just like, fuck the weddings. Like we don't have like $50,000 for a venue and then for our honeymoon and for like all of this, like no, like for the ring and the dress. Ring and the dress by themselves is most of the freaking.
That's my left leg.
Yes. Or like, you know, just like stuff like that. We don't have like all the money to do all that stuff. That like most people's like either parents or like grandparents had. If you know, if they had the money to do so. But yeah. So like people like us that are doing like those things, like a band-aid, like the housing market and like what's the other thing, oh my gosh, oh like the reason why Toys R Us and like what's the other one that we Sears and all those things, like department stores,
or like how the certain dog food companies are getting less sales because millennials who have dogs are treating them more like their kids.
So they're
only buying them like really gourmet fancy dog food and not their cheap like corn food.
So us people like that are that's the target audience for shows, for the gritty reboots, I should say, because I feel like as a culture, we're shifting more towards, you know, like all of the ideals that like we had as kids or that like our parents or like our grandparents had as kids are up in flames. Like we got to go to work
new generation's going to go through some real...
Yeah, we're all going through the emo phase.
As a culture, not me. I've never gone through an emo phase, and I'm proud to say I never have. So I'm good. You, however, honey.
I am still going through an emo phase. I'm only half kidding.
No, you go to Hot Topic regularly. I think you're stuck.
I'm stuck. You know what? No, I have cool ass earrings
from Hot Topic.
From Hot Topic likes.
Which ones?
The snake ones and the bug ones.
Oh man, those are cute.
See?
No.
You gotta know what you're shopping for.
Those are cute.
Right.
I almost convinced her that earrings upside down meant you were gay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she had her earrings in, but the beetles were facing down, and I was all like, people are gonna think you're gay. And then she was all like, what? I was like, your earrings are upside down. That means I'm gay. And she goes, no, it's not. I go, yeah, it is. And she goes like, really? And I forgot. At that point, I should have just said April Fools, but I kept on, because it was actually April 1st.
It was.
But I was all, but then I go like, no, I'm just kidding. And I was all like, and then he's like, I believed you. I was like, yeah. I think it's, and then I was like, it's the right ear or the left ear or whatever. And then he turned around and go, you should have said April Fools. And I was all like, no.
I know. I missed opportunity missed. But because
I didn't want to make you a fool.
I was going to say, also, they would be half right. So I'd be like,
half right.
You know, okay.
Because you're one of them bis.
Bis. The B in LGBT, as my friend Kenneth says. But anyways, yeah, so that was, so those were kind of like, that's kind of what I'm thinking of when I think about the gritty reboots and why they're popular now.
With Marvel only getting better, mm-hmm. and the latest DC, and the latest couple of DC movies have been kind of like a little more tongue in cheek. Okay, Aquaman was like half, it was like 25% tongue in cheek, mm-hmm. and then the movie Shazam,
Shazam?
Parentheses the OG Captain Marvel, and also parentheses one of my favorite comic book characters of all time.
Yes,
Billy Batson.
Yes.
What happens when he says Shazam, honey? What happens?
He turns into Shazam.
Captain Marvel. Yeah. He goes,
Yeah, I was just like, is this a trick question?
That was like a comedy movie with like superhero scenes.
It's so good because like
it's okay, so good.
It makes sense. Like the humor and the comedy, it all makes sense because they're all young kids trying to like in like these more adult situations, and it's like, and I feel like I like the pace of it. It very much felt like an adventure movie. Like it feels like an adventure movie. It feels like a superhero movie.
A coming of age movie.
Like it's like all like the magical things in like one movie. I really liked it, it doesn't
happen in the movies, but can you totally imagine Billy and his friend is walking down like some railroad tracks?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
best friend. Like, but yeah,
it's that kind of movie.
Yeah, it's really nice. I feel like I haven't seen a movie like that since like
they don't make movies like this anymore.
No, really though. Like that's what it felt like. And I felt that same idea, like that same feeling watching Ready Player One, but that's a whole different reason.
That was like camp the movie.
That's another conversation for another day. But Shazam.
Ooh, yeah.
Back to Shazam though.
Amazing.
No, that one was a really fun one, and I have a theory because they're definitely probably gonna make sequels, to that one. I have a feeling they're gonna get darker as they go on, only because the kids are growing up, and it's like it. I feel like they're gonna do the same thing that they did with Harry Potter, where the movies get darker because the kids will be dealing with more like adult things.
I think not, because.
I think so.
I think DC's learned their lesson, and they're gonna up the more fun stuff.
No, I feel like I don't know.
I forgot Joker's coming out.
Oh
yes, that wasn't campy at all.
I'm so excited for it.
There was Nate Camps.
That looks like the dark that we're looking for, without it being like I'm Batman, I'm gonna kill everyone. Like it's just like no, Batman doesn't do that. Why is he killing people?
When I saw the performance that Joker trailer, I was kind of like rubbing my hands together and like going like yeah.
Because it looks good. It looks like the movie that we were all waiting for. Also, I feel like they should have
five years late.
I feel like they should have just come out with that instead of. You know, and kept working on Suicide Squad. I had dreams for that one.
It should have been a slam dunk.
It should have been Joker first.
Yeah. The Dark Knight came out.
Yeah.
I thought Heath Ledger's performance was fine. I was like, okay, that's whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, cool. Okay, fine. When this one came out, when the trailer for this next coming Joker came out, yeah. I was like, okay, yeah, this book is pretty cool. I didn't feel any of that with
Suicide Squad.
What is nuts?
Oh, Jared Leto. Mm. Yeah, him is. I just feel like just the way. Oh, just that whole how they handled all of that.
He looks like a rapper who's like.
I think that was the point.
No.
And it just. I had so much hope. but sorry, I'm crying on the inside. No, but I mean. I feel like if they would have, okay, I said this when I watched Suicide Squad, I was just like, it felt like they wanted to make a Joker movie, they wanted to make a Harley Quinn movie, but then they remembered, oh crap, there's like the other guys here too. And I feel like literally if they would have just come out with Joker first before Suicide Squad, I feel like they would have seen people's response to Joker and then like, maybe tone down the whole what is it called, like grunge aesthetic of Suicide Squad. They probably would have focused more on like, oh, so they want to actually know these characters. Like if they were really trying to copy what Marvel is doing, they would have made individual movies first so that we give a crap about the 10 villains that are in this movie. They did it backwards and it makes me so upset because they could have done something good.
I mean, yes, this has been the record for superhero movies, I mean, like for a while now.
Yeah,
and it comes in waves. Like it's like everyone wants to make their own group.
Yes.
Like the Avengers, they're the ones who did it. They tried doing Fantastic Four, that didn't work.
Yes.
When Spider-Man, they tried to branch it off into the Sinister Six, that didn't work.
No.
And then like we have the DC universe, and that's like crumbling, and like it's like
I feel like it's trying to claw its way out.
God, well, I've heard it said about Shazam, uh-huh, that like this wasn't their highest grossing movie,
uh huh, but
it was the highest rated, yeah. So they didn't make that much money, But they got some good press.
Yeah.
So, but in the past, like with the bad movies, they had to, they did get their money back. Because, you know, it was like in Hollywood.
Because everyone's going
to. Because in Hollywood, if you spend a certain amount of money, you're almost guaranteed to get it back. Like going back to like to the MCU and Game of Thrones, visually, it's just like, whoo, I'm just there now. Like, the graphics are so crisp. I'm actually, there's Jon Snow right, he's over there.
Yeah.
And I see it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So
big budget.
It is, yeah, big budget stuff. It's so interesting.
Love it. Love it.
It's so interesting. I feel we could talk about big budget stuff in Hollywood, like, there was something I was complaining about. It was the movie Tag.
Why do you hate this? So, like, this morning I was going through my HBO list, and I was all, like, adding a bunch of stuff. Like, oh, I want to see this movie and this movie and this movie. Oh, yeah, I want to see, you know, the Meg. Yeah, big-ass shark. Why not? Mm-hmm. And I was all, like, Tag, that movie that was, like, dumb. About, like, the four or five guys who are, like, always just playing the same Tag. They gave me Tag for, like, the last, like, 20 years.
Yes.
And I was all, like, okay, I want to see what happens. I was like, whatever, I added my list. So, like, maybe I'll watch it. And then you come in and go, like, ooh.
He's like,
Tag. Did you add that to your... She, like, she literally stopped in the middle of what she was talking and whatever she was saying. And she goes, like, did you just add Tag to your queue?
I know.
And she sounded so hurt, like, insulted. Like, am I a joke to you? Why would you bring this to our house?
No, you know what? I feel like...
You were incredulous.
It's so interesting.
Why hate it?
Well, okay, let me preface this by saying...
You went on a tirade.
I kind of did.
I haven't even seen
the movie, but like, I know. But okay, let me tell you. I saw the previews a million times when I was watching other movies. And I'm sitting here just like, okay, I get it. It's about man children that are going to learn how to be men and how to deal with their emotions and like having friends as men. And I'm just like, that's cool.
Men.
But I was just like, it's just like, so much money on that. You know what? You know what? I like what they're trying to do. I do. I don't know why. I just, but I also felt the same way about Unicorn Store.
Oh, wait, you didn't actually watch it though.
I didn't actually watch it.
Well, then you can't talk
Cause,
about
no, because remember, right? we didn't talk about, like, we haven't seen Tag and I'm talking about it.
You know, you're not talking about it. You're just insulting it because you hate it so much.
No, I actually am not insulting it. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I just have a problem with films where I can, like, look at the title and see the previews and be like, oh, so it's going to be about this.
But you know, yeah, but alternate universe husband Hannibal Buress is there.
Oh my god. But with that being said, I was going to say I felt a similar type of way about Unicorn Store, because remember we saw the Unicorn Store preview thing on Netflix, and I was watching it and I was just like, it's like, this is Oscar baity for sure. For one, two, it's a woman child that's going to learn to be an adult. Like, you know, like, it, they both have this, have a similar feel. And I'm just like,
yeah.
But hers is filled with rainbows and glitter. And
I feel like this is your cringe.
It is.
I finally found your cringe. Okay, so, like, for those... Okay, so, probably don't know this, but, like, I have, a negative... I have a negative percent tolerance for cringe.
I love it so much.
Like, if I see cringe, I actually get weaker. And I slowly lose my life force.
Like, honey,
whereas Jillian has, like, an 80... has an 80-plus, like, protection against cringe. And she, she can watch just all these cringe compilations and be all, like, yes.
So great. It's like, give me all the cringe.
I cannot take it. And now I finally have your cringe.
Yes. I don't know. Just for some reason, just like...
Because you hate the... I'm a woman, hear me roar archetype.
Oh my gosh. Little power. I watched, what was it? Like Ocean's, what was it? The most...
Ocean's Vagina.
Yeah, basically. Ocean's Vagina.
Ocean's Vagina.
I was just like, okay, this is interesting. Like, that's the trend. Okay, so right now, I feel like the trend is...
Women in charge.
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
So women in charge, women directors, but then there's also this other trend. Like, I feel like more recently, so I feel like that was in the past. Like, I feel like we're blasting through trends right now. So so there was the woman direct. Like, right now, it's more women directors. And there were movies about women. There's still more coming out for fucking sure. But I feel like we're also trying to see more films with people of color in them, which is awesome. But I feel like with that being said, because as a culture, we're trying to be more accepting of them, or like trying to make more of them, not all of them are going to be tens at the moment. And I feel like Ocean's Vagina was one of them. Also, that's not the actual name of the film. I totally forgot what Ocean's it is. The most recent one with Sandra Bullock as the main person. The idea sounds cool. The idea does. But watching, like, I just hated how, as the, like, in the film itself, I actually went to a movie theater and watched it, by the way. And in the film itself, they were trying to, like, drive home at every possible second that it's about women. So it was just like, look at this Banksy. Banksy, he vandalized a fucking, like, what is it? A picture of the founding fathers on the fucking boat, and he made them all women. Look at that. It's a woman's movie. And then, like, whenever they were in a museum and they had B-roll of the museum, and they showed specifically statues of women and pictures featuring women, because remember, it's a movie about women. And then they use their womanly powers, but not their womanly powers, but they use their, like, femininity to, like, get, you know, what they want. And there's, like, a love interest, and she's doing it to, like, spite her ex-boyfriend, and, like, she's trying to spite her ex-boyfriend and also get the jewels that her brother wanted, which is interesting because she's trying to do this in the name of
honey, please stop talking about Cersei Lannister.
Women, I know, sorry. But no,
because everything he just said is what Cersei does.
Yeah.
Almost beat for beat.
Wait, hold on. But I was just like, what the heck? When I was watching this. But the thing is, it's not as nuanced as Cersei Lannister. Cersei Lannister took, I don't know how many seasons to get to where she is now.
She might be my first celebrity, like, crush.
Oh my. Cersei Lannister or the actress that plays her?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but
yes, please.
Both.
Why not both?
All of the above. But anyways. But oh, hi, Katie.
It's our dog.
A little baby girl. Or
now she's scared because someone mentioned Cersei Lannister.
He's like, did you say women?
Women.
I am
the only woman here. I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, Katie. Oh, giving mommy a kiss. Can I have a kiss too?
Yay! Yes. Oh, she just woke up from a nap.
Oh, you old lady.
Anyways,
are you a good doggy?
Oh, thank you, honey. Oh,
I think she's happy that we're here.
Yeah, we're both still here.
Oh yeah, this was our day off, so we are just like we've been with her the whole entire time, and she's just like in love.
Oh, she's just like yeah, because mom leaves every day early in the morning.
No, you do so as well.
Yes, but anyways, So, yeah, I just felt... What was I even friggin' talking about? I know I was talking about Ocean's Women.
Ocean Women's.
Ocean Women's. But, yeah, that one... that's part of, like, the trend of films. Because also around the same time that was coming out. Yeah.
And they're going to make a Harley Quinn movie, and they're going to make a of Birds of Prey movie, yes. which is a DC property. Oh, is these three like women characters in the DC universe?
Is it Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, and someone else?
No, it's Harley Quinn. Oh no, it's okay, one of them. Okay, one of them has sonic booms. The other one's like damn it, I can't remember.
Yes, well,
another group team up movie, superhero team up movies, and a womanly movie.
Yes,
womanlies.
Yeah, so like there's those that are coming out, and then there's also around the time that I saw Ocean's Women, I also saw previews for, I think it was like The Widows, or like where it's like all the wives of all these like, what is it, like, mm-hmm, hitmen or like mob boss people that like died, and they're just like, we have to finish their job, and then like
guaranteed to appear on HBO.
Yes, oh my, just like there's just that trend that's happening right now. I'm excited that these trends are happening, because like now we have more of those types of films in the social sphere, and as we make more of them, we're going to learn more from our mistakes and make better ones,
which is why I'm Mad Max Fury Road was ahead of its time.
Yes. I have to think about that one.
I liked it. And you know why? Because there's explosions and guns and then fighting and blood. And I'll just lean back and go, yep, this is good for me.
Yeah.
If there's more than five laser blasts, I'm in.
Yeah, that one was an interesting one. I need to think about that one more, because I saw it like a while back. But yeah. Oh, and also
had your boyfriend,
Tom Hardy
in it.
Oh, but Venom.
Venom. We are Venom.
No.
Yes.
No.
That movie was so delicious.
No, go away. Oh my God.
It was so good.
No Venom.
He said, "We are Venom." He was about to eat.
That's because he did the things that everyone loves.
I was thoroughly happy.
I don't know about that one. I don't know about Venom.
Why? Last time we had as much hatred for something in a comic book movie was for Natalie Portman in Thor.
Because that was terrible. I'm sorry, but what was that?
It was serviceable.
No.
Yes.
Barely. Yes, Katie?
Yeah, go ahead.
Katie is getting her little energy out. But anyways, with all that being said, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, that's actually kind of part of why you didn't like it. And that's part of why I kind of also just like,
Actually, I didn't like it because I thought the dialogue was just like,
weird. It was all very on the nose. Because after watching three episodes, they're trying to drive home the motif and the theme that it's women rising up, which is cool. It's cool.
They mention it every, like...
It's literally every other sentence. It's just like, oh, it's because I'm a woman, I can't do these things. Or, like, women being... So, like the... I forgot the, like, who's Hilda and who's Zelda. But, like, but the bigger aunt. She basically is, like, this meek little... I don't know what to call it. But she's being controlled, basically, overpowered by... the other aunt, who's like the head bitch of the house, and she's basically just like, you will do our bidding, like you will do the Dark Lord's bidding because you signed the book too, and like, you know, like fucking get it together. You know, we're here to do what he wants, doesn't matter how you feel, and blah 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 blah. And then Sabrina doesn't sign the book because she's happens in the first two episodes. Right, so they're not fine. Like major spoilers, but like, and then Sabrina doesn't like she has one of the friends who's like, she's androgynous, I should say, and she's being picked on by the high school football team people, like three guys from the football team or whatever, and she's being bullied because she's not very feminine. And then Sabrina's just like, you know, she's defending her friend, as she should. All the antagonists are men. Well, actually, except for the sucky bitches. But, like, they're kind of, like, they're playing for the same team-ish. But they come united against men. And let me explain. So, basically, in the first few episodes, we've established that the principal of her human school is a misogynistic pig who does not, who really just, he'd rather turn a blind eye than punish the boys that are doing, terrible things to her friend.
Well, it's a cartoonish degree of which they aren't actually a cartoon at all. So.
It's literally just like, what year is it? The fuck? Anyways, but it is a small town. I don't know. So the principal's misogynistic, and then there's these football jocks that are really good at the sport, so they don't... Katie! Destroying my dream poster.
Steps on my dreams. Your dream poster, what a woman. You're such a girl.
Leave me alone, it's my dream board.
It'll give you glitter on it too, and all the markings with markers and crayons.
Why?
And little hearts on your eyes, and
So I was saying,
yeah, what were you saying?
I was saying that the boys, they're allowed to do whatever they want because they're good at the sport and the principal won't do
because
shit.
Because they have a penis.
So Sabrina is against them, of course. And then she has like an all women's, like women helping women type of club, which is awesome. But then it's a lot, like, so they have that at the human level, and then in the supernatural side, the Dark Lord, of course, is like, he's the one.
Well,
like,
what's in this movie? Oh wow.
I know. Oh my gosh. But the Dark Lord, Satan, everyone signs his book, and like they have to do his bidding and go by his rules. And Sabrina's just like, no, I go by my own rules because I'm part human and part witch. But I'm not going to do your bidding, because if I feel like it's wrong and I'm going to do it, blah, 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 blah. And then also the high dark priest, also a man. I know. Also a man was literally forcing her hand and trying to trick her into signing the book. So it's like all the men, all like the men in power and all this other stuff. And then like the three sucky bitches, as they're called in the show, they hate Sabrina, but when Sabrina's just like, hey, why'd you help me if you hate me? And all this other stuff, like something about like witch stuff. And then they were just like, Sabrina was just like, I don't know if I'm going to go to the school only because to the school for magic only because, oh yeah. Why can't she have power and free will? That's the thing. Because the whole thing is you have to give up your free will to have all the power from the Dark Lord. And literally, the literal response from the sucky bitches was, well, I mean, like, he doesn't want us to have all the power because, remember, Satan's a man, isn't he? And it's just like, okay, oh my god, I get it. He's a man. He doesn't want to give up his power. He doesn't want to give women all the power because if women had power, it would be scary for all the men because they're all scared. But like, you know, it's just like they keep driving home this like, and then like she punishes the football guys and then she punishes the principal and then like she doesn't sign the Dark Lord's book. She's playing by her own rules, having the women's club. It's like, I feel like it's, I like on like face value, I like the things that they're trying to tackle. I feel like it's a lot for, I'm only episode 3. They establish all this stuff episode 1. I'm just like, okay, this is a lot. Like, this is a lot. And I have a feel, like, I hope they get more nuanced in, like, how they talk. But, I mean, like, from what it looks like right now, it's all very on the nose with how they're talking about it. And, like, the issues that they're talking about is very, yeah, like I was saying, it's just very on the nose right now, the issues that they're talking about. But yeah, but no other show is doing all of that at once.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, but that's
and yeah, I would Game say that and more.
Yeah, that and more. It tackles stuff like that, but it's in a more nuanced way. And it's spread out and they follow multiple characters. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is about one girl fighting all these things, seemingly.
And she's all, I did notice that about the show, that she's all over the joint with all those people on her, that she's got that evil witch tracking her.
Uh-huh.
She's got the school.
Yeah.
And her parents.
Mm-hmm, the Dark Lord.
And then Salem, who's he or it?
Salem is a wood spirit.
Yeah, yeah, but what's its deal?
We don't know yet. Exactly. I'm only on episode 3, but only just from the first few episodes. That's part of why JJ tapped out, because like, this is a lot. Why are we doing all this right now?
I felt like it was just so like purposeful, like edgy on purpose. Not edgy on purpose. But
yeah,
like,
no, I know what you're saying. It was just like this isn't the Sabrina from your childhood. This is Sabrina dealing with real life stuff because she's a woman in the fucking 21st century.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they can kill each other and they come back. Like, it's just, oh my fucking, what? It's a lot. And, like, I understand she's a social justice warrior, and that's cool. That's cute. I feel like I would have liked this show a lot better when I was a teenager and I didn't know better. And I feel like that is the target audience. Like, if I was just learning about these issues at first. Oh, yeah. And also, on top of all of that, her friend, who also founded the women's club at the school, she's also dealing with reading a book that's been banned because it's about someone rising up. And she's just like, fuck this banned book shit. Like, it's like, oh my, like, and then all of me, the things while it's all happening. I'm just like,
and
oh.
And I know I came in with the wrong mindset, but at the same time, it's just like, I'm like halfway, I'm like 20 minutes into this show, and I'm just all like, in my head, I'm all like, I'm not trying to telepathically tell you, honey. Like, I was like, honey, this show, I have my own problems to deal with.
I know.
Why do I want to listen to the 20 minutes of like my life? Oh, life is so hard. I have all these awesome powers. No, I'm just all like, I'm just thinking to myself like, you know, it's cool. Just like, like knights and dragons and shit, like Game of, I keep talking about Game of Thrones because after this we're gonna watch it. I'm so ready. But like mm-hmm. we talk about that show where it's all just all like, you know, like dun 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 go, and it's like and all this cool shit.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, they're not like crying at me about like how hard it is for.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll have that in like certain in like in levels and like in terms of different storylines. But
yeah. Like I said, I feel like
I have all problems.
Yeah, I feel like if I didn't take any, like, if I was just, like, in high school and, you know, I wasn't, like, I didn't have a platform to talk about, like, societal issues. Like, when I went to college, I took a couple of courses about those things. Stop doing that. That's weird.
Okay.
I did take a couple courses, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, see. And when me and JJ first met, I talk about this stuff
I was like, they met him.
Yeah, and no, but we did talk about, like, women's issues and stuff literally the day that we met. But no, like, I'm all for all the women's stuff. It's just, I feel like with that show, it's, like, it's pounding it in your face and trying to, like, It's so interesting, and it all goes under, like, the motif that they're going for, but at the same time, like, it's a lot to handle. Maybe it's because Sabrina, maybe they're trying to drive home, like, or, like, make you feel the way that Sabrina feels, like, overwhelmed with all these things that are happening.
This is what the modern millennial life is like. It feels like you're caught between...
No. I don't know. Actually,
I'm just pulling this up on my butt right now, because I only watched the first episode. And I'm slowly, day by day, trying to delete that memory.
But yeah, so anyways, it's interesting with these gritty reboots, what they define as gritty, and what
they represent in pop culture, like, landscape. Exactly. And maybe even we as a people.
Yeah, right.
Like you said.
Exactly. So it sounds like we've exhausted everything we can talk about right now.
Covered it all. We're that good.
Yeah, I know. Right. But yeah, so I guess that's today. We're done with the gritty reboot talk. We're gonna talk more about, like, comic books and all that other stuff. And
actually, no, what we're announcing is we're rebooting the whole entire podcast. Adultish.
Oh my god.
Now it's gonna be called British. Gritty-ish.
The grittiest. Gritty-ish. And with that, goodbye.
That was a great episode, huh?
That was great. One of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, so, well, if you liked this episode, be sure to check out some of our other episodes we have. And, if you like those too, then we hope to see you in the future.
Yeah, and if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, shoot us an email at the email in our show notes below.
And if you can't contact us through our email address, just stick your head out the window and shout. I'm sure, you know, we'll hear you.
Exactly. And don't forget to rate and subscribe. And as always,
stay frosty.